That song we sang has some interesting phrases in it, doesn't it? I remember one time my Aunt Marianne getting up and meeting after we sang it. And ever since then, whenever we sing this line, it means something special to me. She said, "I thank the Lord for the grace He gives me to keep my spirit free." Remember, we sang, "Heavenly wisdom, He provides me grace to keep my spirit free." And she said, "I thank God for grace to keep my spirit free." Well, she was a thinking woman, and thoughts come. They come to you too. And sometimes we can get bound up if we don't watch out about where we let our thoughts run. And Aunt Marianne said, "God has grace to keep my spirit free, and He gives it to me, and I thank Him for it." That's always stuck with me. Then that other one we sang this morning, "Now a halo crowns each duty." A halo crowns each duty. I can see you guys coming in with halos on. I know mine slips sometimes, but that's not what it really says. It means that everything that we do is for Him. It's not for ourselves, our own advancement, but first of all, it's for Him. And therefore, it's holy unto the Lord. A halo crowns each duty. There's a blessedness in everything that I do, even scrubbing the pots and the pans, or sweeping the floor or the porch or whatever it is. There's something special about everything that is done heartily as unto the Lord. "Now a halo crowns each duty, and I sing a glad refrain." Sometimes those who sweep in the morning, you ever go past them and hear them singing or humming? That's a good thing. It happens sometimes. They're moving that broom and they're rejoicing in the Lord. "Now a halo crowns each duty. I sing a glad refrain." There are other good ones too. "Jesus Christ, my joy." Praise the Lord. Well, holiness unto the Lord. Did you read your reading for today? What is it called again? Loyal Responses? I just have to mention it. I know you read it, and so this is just underscoring it. Why do I have to mention it? Well, it fits so with our camp theme, doesn't it? What is the heading? Set apart. What does set apart define? It defines holiness. That is the essence of holiness, is separation. Separation from, it's a double-pronged separation. Separation from all that defiles, everything of sin and self. And separation unto, holiness unto the Lord. I'm separated unto Him. We like to focus on that, of course, and that's right. And when we think about that, then we say, who wouldn't want to just leave that other stuff behind? Lord, deliver me, set me free from that, so that I can be set apart unto You. We read it the other night. I didn't realize it was coming up the second day. On Monday night at prayer meeting, we were reading from Psalm 3 because Brother John mentioned it on Sunday morning as one of the psalms that is associated with David's flight from Jerusalem and from Absalom, his treacherous son. But we read that psalm in connection with the theme of prayer. And then we looked ahead at something in the fourth psalm. And of course, my eye fell on that verse. Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Let's see that one again. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. That's a precious verse. David knew that, and he gave it to us. God hath set apart him that is godly for himself. David was called, you know what he was called, you've heard this many times, a man after God's own heart. Therefore, this was his experience. He knew a God who heard his cry and answered his prayers. And he knew that he was separated unto God. He was separated. He was called unto holiness. But it was done for himself. That means for God himself. We've been separated. You think about that just a little bit. Just stop. Remember we talked about meditating in the Word of God last night? You just stop. You say, wow, isn't this wonderful? God sets people apart for himself. What does that mean? I guess it has a lot of good thoughts. And if you read the poem for today, she really has great thoughts. But before I read it, I thought of a few things. God wants us just for himself, for fellowship. He wants to open his heart to us, for his enjoyment. Yes, we were made for his enjoyment. The Bible teaches us that. God delights in you. He wants you for himself. For fellowship, to share in his love, for enjoyment. A garden enclosed is my sister, he says. He sets people apart for holy communion, holy fellowship. Sometimes he takes them away from things that will distract them or divert their attention. For a while, he takes them away so that can have unrestricted, unhindered communion. He sets apart the godly for himself, for their enjoyment. Then I thought of for prayer in connection with, it was Monday night, we were having prayer, for intercessory prayer. Remember how he took the three? He says, come here. We're going into the garden. There were others, but he took these three, his, shall we call them his inner circle? In a sense, they were Peter, James, and John. He says, now, you wait here. I have to go and take care of something. Watch with me. Watch with me. Well, they didn't do too well. I know that you know the story. But I don't think they forgot that that experience. I don't think they ever forgot it. And God, the Holy Spirit, brought it back to them. And they remembered their example, and they saw how he prayed, how he called on God, strong crying. And God sets people apart. He's called us all to be his priests. Pray without ceasing. His priest am I before him, day and night. Oh God, may I be one who can lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and fulfill in this holy ministry of prayer. He sets us apart for holy service unto him. We're here serving the Lord, aren't we? And that service counts. There's joy in serving Jesus. If we do it unto him, whatever you do, do it heartily. As unto the Lord, we get the tickets, don't we? On Saturday, we get the tickets. That's our reward. if that's your reward, pity you. Oh, it's great. They got good things down there. They have really good things down there. But you know what it says in that verse? Knowing that you'll receive the reward of your inheritance from the Lord as you do everything as unto Him. That's... Remember when Abraham met Melchizedek coming back from a battle that he fought and won? And he met Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. We could talk for the rest of this summer on this. The writer to the Hebrews gave it a lot of attention, but it's just a few verses in Genesis. He met Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed him and gave him bread and wine. They had a communion service there in the Old Testament. Here was Melchizedek, the king and the priest of the Most High God, king of righteousness, king of peace, and he met Abraham. And it was before a temptation. He needed something. God saw that. They had this meeting. And Abraham received a blessing from God through Melchizedek's ministry, so that when the king met him, a different king who wanted to just give him a lot of reward for winning the battle for him, he had gone and he had fought and he had won, and now, come on, Abraham, here it is, I want to give you. No, I don't want anything from you. I don't want it to be said that I was made rich through what you gave me. I'll just take what the young men, you know, what they are. In other words, we would say today, I'll take expenses. That's what we'll take. Nothing more. I suppose that could have been a temptation for Abraham, but he had been so strengthened by the blessing of God that earthly things just didn't hold that same appeal for him that they may have. And right in the next verse, the beginning of the 15th chapter, God said to him, I am your exceeding great reward. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. And so, tickets or no tickets, they're good. They are good. I don't mean to disparage those tickets. They're all we get, right? No. we get joy in serving Jesus, and we get something from heaven that cannot be measured. Its value cannot be measured. We get the Lord. He comes to us. He gives us Himself. Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. And so the service, motivated by the love of Jesus in our hearts, and performed as unto Him, is a holy service. There's the halo crowning all of that, each duty. And we rejoice. We're so glad to do whatever we can do for Jesus. Whatever we can do for Jesus, it's joy. Joy that throbs within my heart, we sang. I think of the Holy Spirit. I guess these words just bring it to mind. Set apart. Remember in the church in Antioch, it says they were ministering to the Lord. They were worshiping God. They were waiting on the Lord. They came together, the leaders of the church there, just came together, and they looked. Doesn't say these exact words, but this is what was going on. They looked at Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. and they ministered to the Lord, and they meant business. They took time away from their meals. It says they were fasting and praying and worshiping and serving the Lord in this way. They were so glad to do it. But as they were waiting before him, it says that the Holy Ghost spoke. He gave direction. And he said, separate. Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. And so they did. That was the beginning of a wonderful ministry that God gave to the Apostle Paul. He went on these missionary journeys, and everywhere he went, he preached Christ. We preach not ourselves. I was just sharing with a brother yesterday from 2 Corinthians 4. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. Paul centered in and gloried in Christ. And what a ministry God gave him. A ministry that has been so beneficial and so necessary and so rich to all God's people, down to our day. A ministry that's lasted 2,000 years in richness. God gave that to the Apostle Paul when he separated him. He was set apart. Now, as we often say, you're not Paul, and you're not Barnabas, you're not Silas, you're not Peter or James, neither am I, but you're you, and you're called unto holiness, to be set apart. Nothing more wonderful than to hear and answer God's call, his call to fellowship, his call to prayer, his call to service. And Sister Habergal says it so well. She has additional thoughts here. I'm just going to read this to you. And then Chris, it doesn't have to fit with this, but it's time that you chose a song. We haven't done that yet. Set apart for Jesus. Is not this enough? Though the desert prospect open wild and rough, set apart for his delight, chosen for his holy pleasure, sealed to be his special treasure, could we choose a nobler joy? And would we if we might? Set apart to serve him, ministers of light, standing in his presence, ready day or night. Chosen for the service blessed, he would have us always willing, like the angel host fulfilling, swiftly and rejoicingly, each recognized behest. Set apart to praise him, set apart for this, have the blessed angels any truer bliss? Soft the prelude, though so clear, isolated tones are trembling, but the chosen choir assembling soon shall sing together, while the universe shall hear. Set apart to love him, and his love to know, not to waste affection on a passing show. Call to give him life and heart. Called to pour the hidden treasure that none other claims to measure into his beloved hand. Thrice blessed, set apart. That means to serve, to praise, to love. Thrice blessed, set apart. Set apart forever for himself alone. Now we see our calling gloriously shown, owning with no secret dread this our holy separation, now the crown of consecration of the Lord our God shall rest upon our willing head. Set apart holiness unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.